This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
The key to having a great day starts with having a great night's sleep, and I know because I have a Casper mattress. The Casper mattress was invented with two high-tech foams that give you all of the support that you need and guarantee that you get the best night's sleep ever. Time magazine named Casper mattress one of the best inventions of 2015. Casper ships for free in a box so small you won't believe it holds the actual mattress, making it simple to get from your front door to your bedroom. And you try it for 100 nights risk-free. They'll come and pick it up if you don't love it as much as I love mine, and they'll refund every single dime. Once you try it, you're never going to want to sleep on anything else. Having a great day by having a great night's sleep, casper.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn, $50 off the purchase of your mattress at casper.com/Glenn. The promo code is Glenn. Don't forget, $50 off the purchase of your mattress, casper.com/Glenn. Terms and conditions do apply.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So, what did President-elect Trump tweet that is so wrong? What did he tweet about John Lewis that is so troubling? Were you troubled by it? Why? What was so troubling? What was actually so troubling? I hear a lot of people out there saying it's troubling. They bring up some extra additional information that doesn't necessarily have a bearing in any of this. What is so troubling? I would really like to know. If you're bothered by Donald Trump's tweet, doesn't matter whether you're Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, progressive, it doesn't matter. I would like to hear why you're actually bothered by it. I don't get it. I think I know what's going on, but I'm going to reserve judgment until we discuss this a little bit. Hi there, it's Doc Thompson. I'm pinch hitting for Glenn Beck today. Appreciate you joining me. The number is 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. I'm going to lay out the story in case you haven't heard it. I'm going to give you the details. We're going to hear from the players that have been involved and some other people as well. But I want to know what is so troubling. Full disclosure, I didn't support Donald Trump. Based on track record, how I vote, I couldn't support him. I didn't think he was awful. I didn't think every idea he had was horrible. I just didn't know if I could trust him. I certainly didn't support Hillary Clinton. Hell no. And I've said throughout the election, and even after he got elected, I expect pretty good things out of him. I have high hopes. I call each issue and each situation as I see him. I'm consistent with my values that way. So when I say, I don't know what President-elect Trump did that is so troubling, it's not because I'm in the tank for Trump. Absolutely not. So maybe if you're bothered by what he tweeted, you could explain it. 888-727-BECK. Let me lay out what happened for you. Representative John Lewis from Georgia's 5th Congressional District, which encompasses, I think, all of Atlanta, was on MSNBC with Chuck Todd, and they were talking about the president-elect. Here is what happened during that conversation.
Here's the thing. John Lewis put Democrats in kind of an awkward position on Friday. A lot of Democrats were like, oh, no, now I'm going to
No. This is Jake Tapper. Do you have the John Lewis on with Chuck Todd? This is what started the whole thing. So Chuck Todd asks John Lewis about his relationship with Donald Trump and whether or not he can support him. Is he going to work with him and such things? And John Lewis, not too happy. We have the audio? No, I don't think we have the audio. Okay, let me lay it out for you. He called Donald Trump an illegitimate president. He said it's going to be difficult to work with him. I believe he's an illegitimate president. Chuck Todd said, wait a minute, you believe he's an illegitimate president? Yes. And he said, why is that? And he said, because the Russians influenced the election. Now, folks, influence the election is still a very broad term, influenced. You can influence in a lot of ways. You can also influence to different degrees. Do I believe the Russians influenced some people. Sure, absolutely. On a grand scale that affected the outcome? Absolutely not. I just don't. I believe Hillary's emails, some of those, and John Podesta's emails may have influenced a little bit, but that's not the big point of the election. The big point of the election is people voted selfishly. I don't mean that as a bad thing. I don't mean you're selfish. I don't mean it like that. I mean, we looked at ourselves and said, as we're supposed to, by the way, what's right for me? And a lot of Americans looked around and said, number one, I am pissed off. I am pissed off that every day the basic values and things I want in America are told to me by a president, an arrogant president, that I'm wrong and racist for just wanting to raise my children or go down and get a sandwich or buy a 20-ounce soda or whatever it is. On every front, they attacked us. And number two, they looked around at their lives and said, I have not had a good year financially in decades. 20 years, I haven't had a positive year. Even if things have been, okay, I made some money and whatever, it's not been right. And they said, I don't care what comes next, I'm burning the system down. We all know that. If you haven't figured it out yet, you nutcases on the left, you need to. It wasn't about white supremacy or any of this. There were a lot of African Americans, a lot of minorities that voted for Donald Trump. Huge numbers. Why? Because they're tired of being attacked on the things that they value. And number two, they want better financial situation for their family that they haven't had in a long time. That's it. So John Lewis calls Donald Trump an illegitimate president because of Russia's involvement. Donald Trump then tweets out a couple of things. He tweets, Congressman John Lewis should spend more time on fixing and helping his district, which is in horrible shape and falling apart. Then he later tweets, Congressman John Lewis should finally focus on the burning and crime-infested inner cities of the U.S. I can use all the help I can get. Okay, that's it. John Lewis called him an illegitimate president. Donald Trump said, hey, maybe you should spend more time fixing and helping your district or helping me, you know, focus on burning and fix the burning and crime-infested inner cities across the U.S. So back to my original question. What did Trump tweet that is so wrong? Are you troubled that it's not accurate? The 5th Congressional District of Georgia isn't in that bad of shape? Well, by some standards, it's actually pretty good. Atlanta has boomed over the years. I'm not sure how much of it John Lewis influenced. I mean, it's a warmer city with a major airport hub. Fortune 500 companies started settling there. Coke is there. It kind of snowballed. So it's not horrible. It still has some problems, of course. It's not the worst inner city district in America. Is that what bothers you? It's inaccurate? Because I seem to, there's a lot of people that seem troubled that Donald Trump would dare to tweet a criticism at John Lewis. That's what this seems like to me. Based on all the headlines and the talking heads and the tweets and the Facebook posts, the people who are offended, both Democrats, Republicans, anybody who's bothered by this seems to be bothered by the fact that John Lewis fought for civil rights. That's the long and short of it. The only other thing that you could possibly be troubled by is that, what, a president or a president-elect would respond to a congressman? Well, that's happened forever. Sure, it's a newer medium, Twitter. But John Lewis was on television. That was a new medium 50 years ago, or a newer one 100 years ago. It didn't exist. So he criticized the president-elect. President-elects have criticized congressmen and senators. Presidents have, by name in general. So he shouldn't have engaged with John Lewis? Okay, that doesn't make sense. Otherwise, you'd also have to criticize John Lewis for engaging and attacking President Trump. To say he's illegitimate, it's asinine. If you want to question a president-elect and say your policies, the thing you're working on, that person you appointed, okay, that's real. To say illegitimate, that's bogus. So, doesn't really make sense to say the president-elect should not have tweeted at him, all right? What about the content? Only thing you could say about the content is maybe it was inaccurate. Maybe. For the 5th Congressional District of Georgia. Possibly. That seems like a bit of a stretch. How about fixing and helping the burning and crime-infested inner cities of the U.S.? Are there some crime-infested cities in the U.S.? Absolutely. President Obama's crime-infested Chicago. Yeah, they set a record for murders last year. Huge number. There are some crime-infested inner cities. Some of them burning. Some have already burned. So that's not real. So, again, what is troubling about what he said? The only thing people keep going to is that John Lewis fought for civil rights. That seems to be the extent of it. If that's the case, we're not allowed to criticize the actions of somebody who fought for civil rights? Is that what you're telling me? We're not allowed to criticize somebody who did something good once in their life? Is that the standard? If that's the case, that means I could save burning children from a building today, and 30 years from now, I could shoot your mom in the head, and you'd have to say, don't criticize Doc for shooting my mom in the head. Don't do that. You know he saved those burning children 30 years ago. If somebody does something good, for the rest of their lives, do they get a pass to do bad things, wrong things, inappropriate things, mean things? If you do something, what do I have to do? What level of good do I have to reach so that for the rest of my life, I can do whatever I want? John Lewis fought for civil rights. I respect that. I would have been marching with him back in the day because I feel that passionately about people being truly equal. Not for government intervention, not for progressive causes. But to say a black person can't go in and shop where a white person does or drink from a fountain or any of this nonsense or vote, absolutely I'd be out there. I would have been standing next to him. Now, he took true physical pain. In 1965, he literally had his head cracked. His skull was cracked. He still has the scars. I respect that. He's done more, he suffered more for something he believed in 1965 than I have. So I respect that. But does that give him a pass to do whatever the hell he wants? Does it make him above criticism that you can never say anything? Because that's what I'm seeing right now, and you're wrong. More on that, we'll get some of your headlines about what different various news organizations are saying about this spat between John Lewis and the president-elect, and also some of your calls, 888-727-BECK. My question, what did President-elect Trump do or say that was so wrong? I'm serious. If you really believe something is wrong, if I have missed something, 888-727-BECK. Your calls next on the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The key to having a great day starts with having a great night's sleep, and I know because I have a Casper mattress. The Casper mattress was invented with two high-tech foams that give you all of the support that you need and guarantee that you get the best night's sleep ever. Time magazine named Casper mattress one of the best inventions of 2015. Casper ships for free in a box so small you won't believe it holds the actual mattress, making it simple to get from your front door to your bedroom. And you try it for 100 nights risk-free. They'll come and pick it up if you don't love it as much as I love mine. And they'll refund every single dime. Once you try it, you're never going to want to sleep on anything else. Having a great day by having a great night's sleep. Casper.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn. $50 off the purchase of your mattress at Casper.com/Glenn. The promo code is Glenn. Don't forget, $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com/Glenn. Terms and conditions do apply.
Beck Program.
You know, I believe
in the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
You know, I believe in forgiveness. I believe in trying to work with people. It's going to be hard. It's going to be very difficult. I don't see this president-elect as a legitimate president.
You do not consider him a legitimate president. Why is that?
I think the Russians participated in helping this man get elected, and they helped destroy the candidacy of Hillary Clinton. I don't plan to attend inauguration. It would be the first one that I miss since I've been in the Congress. You cannot be at home with something that you feel that is wrong.
That's going to send a big message to a lot of people in this country that you don't believe he's a legitimate president.
I think there was a conspiracy on the part of the Russians and others to help him get elected. That's not right. That's not fair. That's not.
So that's Congressman John Lewis from Georgia saying to Chuck Todd that Trump is an illegitimate president. Now, he believes that conspiracy that Russia deep-sixed Hillary Clinton had nothing to do with Hillary being a failed candidate, a horrible person, and a track record that is atrocious. Nothing to do with that. It's got to be the Russians. I'm sure John Lewis is sitting at home talking about the Bavarian Illuminati conspiring with Bigfoot to assassinate JFK. Does he believe other conspiracies? Because he certainly doesn't believe facts that came out during the Obama administration about all kinds of actual problems, like Benghazi and IRS targeting. None of that crap mattered to him. But this bothers him. All right, moving on. I'm going to get some calls, 888-727-BECK. I want to know what Trump said that was so bad. Please educate me. We're going to go to New York. Call 71, line 71, Ed. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. Hey, Ed.
I don't so much have an issue with what was said as opposed to President-elect Trump's insatiable need to constantly get on Twitter and respond to these things. He has done is perpetuated the argument. He gave this more into the news cycle than it. If he had just ignored it, like I tell my 9-year-old, if somebody says something that you don't like, ignore it. Why can't he just ignore it, move on, and focus on the issues that we really have to deal with?
Okay, now Ed, that's a really good point. Don't let me lead you to misunderstand that I think Trump is nice, or this was the best course of action. I don't think it was nice. I don't think it was necessarily needed. I just want to know what's wrong. So to your point, why does he have to tweet everything? That's a good point. I'll give you that. But do you think he did anything inappropriate in regards to what he said to John Lewis?
Well, as you pointed out, he's blurting things out without a complete factual basis, especially regarding Atlanta. I mean, had it been a congressman from Detroit or Chicago,
right.
Absolutely, free reign.
More significant, right.
But, yeah, my point being, it's just he's perpetuated this argument. It didn't need to happen. He's given it another week in the news cycle, which would have just been ignored. There's 11 or 12 congressmen who have decided not to go, including a couple from the People's Republic here of New York.
Yeah, there's 22 at this point, I think, yeah.
Okay, well, fine. You know, more better seating for the people that want to be there.
So real quick, do you also say the same thing about John Lewis, that he was inappropriate in what he said about Trump being illegitimate?
Absolutely. It's the typical liberal standpoint of, forget the facts. Let's just make how everybody feels.
And I appreciate your consistency on that. I really appreciate your consistency, and that's what I'm looking for. Okay, thanks so much. Let's go to North Carolina and get Tiffany in real quick. Tiffany, welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. What did Trump do that was so wrong?
It's his tweets. we spend like forever teaching our kids that, you know, don't get on social media, don't have fights on social media. It's like a little kid war. He sat up there for the whole time of Hillary's, you know, and I understood and I believed him, you know, oh, she might get too emotional. He's emotional. He's like a little girl sitting up there, tweet, 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 everything is a tweet. This is our country. This is not like his little business, his businesses where he can bully people into doing. He's tweeting, you know, his dislike for our intelligence.
It was really about that he tweets, not what he tweets. So you're pretty similar in what Ed said as well. I appreciate the call, Tiffany. Thanks so much. 888-727 back a few more, and then I'll explain what people are actually claiming Donald Trump did wrong.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi there, it's Doc Thompson in for Glenn today. Thanks so much for joining me. 888-727-BECK. 888-727-BECK, the phone number. I'm just asking what Donald Trump has done so wrong by tweeting at Representative John Lewis from Georgia. I'm going to get to a couple more quick calls, and then I'm going to make some other points on it of what I think is really going on in the media. Let's go to Pennsylvania now. George, line 21. Welcome to the program. George.
Yeah.
How are you, sir? What do you think Donald Trump did wrong by tweeting at Representative Lewis?
Well, I think his, do me a favor, if you would, please. Read back his first tweet.
I'll give you the exact quotes. First one, Congressman John Lewis should spend more time on fixing and helping his district, which is in horrible shape and falling apart.
I think that tweet is a little bit rough, and it doesn't sound necessarily all that bad, but he needs to be a little bit more inclusive, asking for help rather than just taking a shot at Congressman Lewis. And I'm not a Lewis defender, and I'm not a Trump basher either. But Trump at this point needs to strike a little bit more of, I hate these words also, inclusive and team building, but he needs to bring people on his team more than he needs to be taking a shot at a congressman like that. Be
in the
a
second,
little bit higher.
Well, in the second tweet, he did a little bit more of that. He said Congressman John Lewis should finally focus on the burning and crime-infested inner cities of the U.S. I could use all the help I could get.
And that is absolutely the right tone. That is absolutely striking to bring him onto the team, and that way it makes Congressman Lewis look more like an outsider who wants to be negative and do his own thing as opposed to get on the bus, no reference intended or at whatsoever, right, and help out and do the right thing for all these communities that are in so much trouble, like Detroit, like St. Louis, like Chicago. I mean, there's so much low-hanging fruit here that could be just gone after, as opposed to letting Congressman Lewis it'll make him look more like an outsider by having him say his own thing, and Trump needs to bring him in. Trump needs to do two things, or needs to do one thing. It's a three-step process. Listen first, think second, tweet last. If he follows those three steps and not quite so much of a harsh tone shooting from the hip, he will sound much, much better, and he will strike a much more inclusive tone, and he'll work out so much better for everybody.
George, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. I understand what you're saying, and that all makes sense. So far, the callers we've had have talked about, you know, more of that he is tweeting, and maybe this isn't presidential, and maybe he should be worried about other things or whatever. Okay, that's fine. The reason I ask, and the reason I wanted to hear from you, is because that's not what I'm hearing in the rest of the media. The rest of the media has had a conniption. Look up conniption. You will see a picture of Trump's tweet at John Lewis. They are melting down over this. But not because Trump dare tweet, not that he's not acting presidential, that he dares to tweet at John Lewis, a civil rights leader. This is what bothers them. Like he is above criticism. If you're criticizing Donald Trump because maybe he shouldn't be doing that, it wasn't the right thing to do, he should be worried about other things, it's not presidential, you don't have to respond, you don't have to get into a, you know, a pissing battle with somebody, any of this stuff. Okay. I don't disagree with that. I'm not bothered. I'm not upset that he's doing this, but it's probably not the right thing to do. Great. But that's not how the media is reacting. How dare Trump, this upstart who managed to get elected president, how dare he even tweet at the honorable John Lewis who fought for civil rights? This is their attitude. If you are exclusively or disproportionately criticizing Trump, you are wrong on this. If you are exclusively criticizing Trump, you are wrong. If you are disproportionately criticizing Trump on this, you're wrong. Either they're both wrong, Lewis shouldn't have done it, Trump shouldn't have done it, or they're both right. If you're not criticizing Trump, at least a little bit, you're wrong. Sure, he's not doing the right things. It's not the nice thing. It's not necessarily the appropriate thing to do. But who is more inappropriate here? I argue John Lewis was. Trump didn't start off talking about John Lewis. He's got 535 members of Congress to pick from that he could be bashing. He's got all kinds of people across the country and around the world he could be bashing, all kinds of stuff. He's still got Rosie that he could be bashing. He was responding to John Lewis. Again, maybe not nice, maybe not right. But John Lewis called him illegitimate, trying to cast aspersions already on his presidency. He's not even sworn in, and John Lewis is doing it to try to take some of the power away. Like everything in D.C., this is about power and money. John Lewis's power and money, Trump's power and money, and everybody else's power and money. Rand Paul, Senator Paul from Kentucky, he said John Lewis isn't in a position where there can be a healthy debate because he's a civil rights icon. Shouldn't make him immune to criticism. He said, I have a great deal of respect for him, but he is a partisan and I disagree with him on the issues. I should be able to honestly disagree with him and not have it all come back to I have no appreciation for a civil rights icon because of this and that. He's right. They would have you believe that if you criticize John Lewis for anything, you not only do not appreciate the civil rights movement, but you're also a racist. That is what the media is trying to peddle today. This goes back to the same game they always play. There are a handful of things that are guaranteed wins or have been guaranteed wins over the years. And one of them is to call somebody a racist. Nobody wants to be a racist. To be labeled a racist, especially with any supporting evidence, no matter how gray of an area, if they can cite anything that you've said or done or tweeted or it looks like you think or act, and they call you a racist, I can't think of too many things worse to be called. Not to me, but to public opinion. Probably predator, sexual predator, rapist, something like this. Murderer. No, I think being called a racist in many people's eyes is worse than being a murderer. It shouldn't be, but I think this is what they believe. We all run from that label. We're all so afraid. And by we, I mean white people are so afraid of being called a racist. They've completely stifled any form of expression, humor, because nobody wants to be called it. They've eradicated, in just a couple of decades, the use of the N-word, which used to be used liberally all over the place. People used it as a statement of fact, like saying white or black. And people say, that's offensive, you're using it in a derogatory way, it only means derogatory things. Okay, no problem. I won't say it. We've eradicated. It's worse than using the F word. Use the F word. You may get away with it. You're inappropriate in a corporate meeting on the air here. You drop an F bomb. People are going to be upset. It's not going to be great, but you can move on. You drop an N word. It's over. It's done. You're labeled a racist. So the reason they're claiming this about Donald Trump, the reason that they're all so offended, Nancy Pelosi and everybody, Chuck Schumer and everybody melting down, how dare Donald Trump even address the Honorable John Lewis? Don't you know he was a civil rights leader? He marched. It's because they want to call him and you a racist. Because it sells. It's power. It's money. They can have influence with Donald Trump, his administration, getting legislation passed. They can make him look bad. They can control me and you and everything else. If they can use the word racist and have people believe it, that's what's really going on here. Let me give you an example. Nina Turner is a former, I think, state of Ohio or Ohio state senator. And now she contributes to MSNBC and some of the other programs. Well, she was on CNN with Jake Tapper. And Jake Tapper asked her about this. And there were some other panelists that chimed in as well. But he starts off with this Nina Turner, who happens to be black. And listen to her comments on this exchange between Trump and John Lewis.
Here's the thing. John Lewis put Democrats in kind of an awkward position on Friday. A lot of Democrats are like, oh, no, now I'm going to have to be forced to defend Donald President-elect Trump. Now, I think that President-elect Trump changed the dynamic by engaging with him.
Yes.
But that was, a lot of Democrats had raised their eyebrows at John Lewis doing that.
Well, he's Congressman John Lewis. I just want to say that to make sure that we give him the requisite respect that he deserves. And 50 years ago, everything that he did is still important today. Now,
Hold it before we move on. She just chastised Tapper for not giving him his due by calling him Congressman. Well, he's actually Representative Nina. We use the term congressman, and it's not inappropriate, but he's actually a representative. But she chastised him because he didn't get the respect he deserves. We say it all the time. We say Obama, we say Trump, we say Bush, we say Clinton, we say Reagan. That's the highest office in the land, and we refer to him by just their last name. We say Donald Trump, we say Barack Obama. What's wrong with that? Well, because she wants John Lewis to be at that special level. That's what where she's going with this. He's special. Can't criticize him. Civil rights leader. It's like a whole separate class. How do I know this? Do we have the other clips of Nina Turner over the past few years discussing other people that are in office? Like Bill de Blasio, for example. Here she is discussing Mayor de Blasio.
By leader Stacey Abrams.
Oh, that's a congressperson. Here you go. Another one. Do we have
Frisk? And, you know, even Mayor de Blasio, when he talked about how crime.
Okay, that was Mayor de Blasio. She also, where he just says de Blasio and Bill de Blasio. Interesting. Not always giving them their due. Not always mentioning their title along with their name. She's on record. All right. A little bit more with Jake Tapper, Nina Turner on Jake Tapper. You'll hear another woman chime in and another panelist listen.
Now, I, as a Democrat, we know that the Russians had some impact, but they didn't go vote on Election Day. They didn't mess with the electronic data. So there are some Democrats that get that, and they didn't write the emails. Democrats are going to have to wear that. But at the same time, what the president-elect needs to do, this is not The Apprentice, the White House edition. His tweets were insensitive. For him to categorize.
Hold it. Why were they insensitive? John Lewis's comments weren't insensitive? Okay, a little more.
For him to categorize Congressman Lewis's district as in bad shape.
Crime infested. It's not, by the way.
Fortune 500 companies, it's about 58% African American, right? Institutions of higher learning. It is diverse ethnically and it is diverse economically. So my memo to my
A second. Let's assume that the fifth district of Georgia is in great shape. Okay. Then why is John Lewis constantly fighting for more tax dollars? Why is he saying we need more money for welfare and schools and government programs? His district's in great shape. You can't have it both ways, guys. Either it's in bad shape, which makes sense to your argument, even though I disagree with it, or it's in great shape and he shouldn't be doing it. He's not actually representing the district well. A little bit more from Nina Turner.
So my memo to my white elected officials, not just President-elect Trump, but a lot of white elected officials make this mistake in making the African-American community a very homogeneous. They read us the wrong way. They think everybody's poor, everybody's broken down. That is not the truth. So they need to come and visit some African
Americans. Hang on a second. She said it's a diverse district. So it's about 60% African American, as she said. Well, that's not diverse then. Blacks represent far less than that in society. It's disproportionately black. So what is the level of the diverse level would be if the district is about 20-25%, whatever the current national standard is for percentage of blacks in America, and the same percentage of, you know, whites across the country and whatever. That would be truly diverse, wouldn't it? What do you mean by diverse? If there's one minority living in an all-white district, then it's diverse. See, they employ that word when it benefits them. Let me get a break in. We'll come back with a little bit more of this on the Glenn Beck Program.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.